The theme of today's scripture readings are actually two themes. One is God is desirous of saving everyone without exception. And the second theme, the more obvious one, is the theme of gratitude. But before talking about those two things, I'd like to focus for a short while on a passage from our second reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. You know, Paul was in chains. He was a prisoner of the Roman Empire. And in that experience of being tied down and unable to go out and continue his work as a preacher, he came to a very important realization. And he says it very clearly here. He says, the word of God cannot be chained. Last night, I had Mass at our Chinese parish, Holy Redeemer. It was celebrating its 75th anniversary as a parish. The Chinese community, Catholic community, has been around for a long time here in Philadelphia. And one of the things I mentioned to them was the amazing growth of the Christian faith in China. They're telling us, those who do those kind of studies, that by the year 2040, that's not too long from now, too far from now, China could be the largest Christian country in the world. China, where the communist government tries today even very strongly to control the church and to control the Word of God. But the faith is growing rapidly. So it really is true that there's no tying down, no chaining the Word of God, except in our hearts. You know, you and I can chain the Word of God in the sense that we don't let it be effective in our lives because we don't believe that it has power. You know, the Word of God, St. Paul tells us in another place, is like a two-edged sword that pierces us. You know, it penetrates to the depths of who we are if we allow it to happen. And so as we gather around the altar of the Eucharist this evening, and around the pulpit of God's Word, we ask the Lord to work a miracle in us that we might unchain the Word of God and let it penetrate our hearts, our lives, and change us. So how does God want to change us through today's scripture readings? The two themes are God wants to save all people without exception, and the importance of gratitude. Let's look at today's first reading from the second book of Kings. What's given to us here is the final paragraphs of a story about a Syrian general whose name was Naaman. And you know today the Syrians are the enemies of the Jews, right? The enemies of Israel. Well, here we are 800 years before Christ's birth, and in this moment, they're still the enemies, they're already the enemies of the Jews. And the general of the Assyrians, whose name was Naaman, developed a case of leprosy. And among his wife's servants or slaves was a young Jewish woman. Apparently they had captured her in one of the raids of the Syrians into Israel. And she told the general that all you have to do is go to my country, to Israel, and visit the prophet Elisha, and he'll do something about your leprosy. And the general doesn't want to do that because he's a Syrian, and Syria is much more important than Israel. But his friends talk him into going. So he goes to Israel, to the place where the prophet Elisha was dwelling. The prophet wouldn't come out to see him, but he said, all you have to do is wash yourself in the Jordan River 7 times, and the Lord will cure you. Now, how many of you have been to Israel and have seen the Jordan River? A few people. Well, it's in most places, it's not any wider than the main aisle here in our cathedral. It's what in Kansas we refer to as a creek. I don't know, maybe you call them creeks here in Pennsylvania, but we always say creeks, you know. And the general was really upset because he said, back in in Syria, we have the Euphrates River. I mean, it's huge. It's like the Delaware, you know? And you want me to wash myself in this muddy creek? And his friends tell him, well, listen, if the prophet told you to do something great, you would do it. Why not take a chance and do something simple? So he humbled himself and he washed himself in the river 7 times. And then the passage we have today begins. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of Elisha, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. Now, how many of you middle-aged and older women would like your skin to be like the skin of a child? They're raising their hands up front. Okay, there we are. All of us would, even us old guys, you know. And all he had to do was trust in the Word of God. And there was a transformation of this arrogant man, this arrogant general. He became grateful. And he went to the prophet Elisha, and he said, let me give you a big gift for what you've done for me. And Elisha said, I'm not going to take it. And the general said, well, let me take 2 mule loads of dirt. You know, mules were the beasts of burden. He wanted 2 great big baskets of dirt on the back of mules home with me. And the reason for that is the people of those days believed that God dwelt in the land. And if he took some of the land of Israel back home, then God would dwell in Syria. This is what he said. If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer sacrifice to any other god except the Lord. For the rest of his life, he was going to offer sacrifice to the God of Israel. He was going to be grateful. Now, what are the 2 themes of today's scripture readings? That God wills the salvation of all people. He was a Syrian. He wasn't a Jew. The Syrians were the enemies of the Jews. But the fact that this man was cured of his leprosy was a sign that God desires to cure the spiritual leprosy of who? Of everyone, and not just a few. Not just the people who go to church on Sunday like us, but our sinner friends. You know, when I say sinner friends, it doesn't mean we aren't sinners. It means the other sinners who are our friends, right? God wills the salvation of all of us. And it's very important for us to turn from our arrogance in order to be grateful. I mean, this man was changed by his spirit of gratitude. He was an arrogant, obstinate man, and his gratitude changed his heart and made him humble and generous. Gratitude's important for doing that. I'll get back to that in just a few minutes. Now, you know that the first reading on most Sundays prepares us for the gospel, which is also a story of God wanting the salvation of all people and the importance of being thankful. So, it begins by telling us, as Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, remember he was going to Jerusalem where he would die on the cross, and on the way he was teaching his apostles how to be disciples, how to be his followers. So he was giving them lessons along the way. And it says here, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee on the way to Jerusalem. Now, I didn't know this because I don't know geography that well, but scripture scholars tell us there's no place where you travel through Samaria and Galilee to get to Jerusalem in Israel. And so either St. Luke, who wrote this gospel, got his geography mixed up, or he was trying to make a point that wasn't about geography. It was about borders. And the border was a border between the Jews and the Samaritans. Now, I've told you who the Samaritans are many times, and I want to say it again for those of us who forget. But, you know, when the Babylonians took the Jews into exile, some of them escaped and stayed home. And they married people who were not Jews, who were pagans. And so the Samaritans were a mixed blood people. Some of them had mothers who were pagans. Some of them had fathers who were pagans. They didn't follow the law of Moses in the same way that the Jews in Jerusalem followed the law of Moses. And they had their own temple. And so the Jews saw them as apostates. You know what the word apostate is? It means someone who stands away from the faith of the community. And the Samaritans didn't like the Jews any better, because whenever Jesus would go into a Samaritan village, we're told in the scriptures many times that he wasn't welcome. So they didn't welcome one another. But you'll see at the end of this story that the hero of the story is what? A Samaritan. You remember another story about a Samaritan who was a hero? We refer to him as the Good Samaritan. This one is called the Thankful Samaritan. So Jesus actually tells a story, but then he has an experience of Samaritans that are very important for us. So anyway, as Jesus was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. He was looking for what it says. 10 lepers met him, and they stood at a distance, and they raised their voice, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." We don't know if these people really had leprosy. It would be unusual for that many people to have leprosy in Israel. But they thought any skin disease that was contagious was leprosy, so they referred to it as leprosy. And because they didn't have the antibiotics we have, they didn't have the sanitary conditions we try to have, the way they handled this disease was anytime someone had a serious skin disease, they couldn't be part of the community. They had to live on the periphery of town, and when people approached, they had to cry out and say, "Unclean, unclean," so that people wouldn't get the disease from them, okay? So they were outcasts. And apparently, in this vicinity between Israel and Samaria, some of them were Samaritans and some of them were Jews. And they were hanging out together. Because I guess when you're sick, that kind of prejudice that exists sometimes in our ordinary life doesn't count anymore, right? It's always amazing to me that people who are bigots, when they go to a hospital and are served by people they're bigoted against back home, are sometimes very grateful for that care, right? I mean, it's just the way human beings are. So here they are, a group of sick Samaritans and sick Jews asking Jesus for a cure. And Jesus didn't even touch them. He didn't actually go up to them. It says that he told them, "Go show yourself to the priests." Because in the law of Moses, I think it's the book of Leviticus or the book of Numbers, it says that if you think you're cured of leprosy, you have to go to the priest, and the priest examines you to see if that's really the case. So on the way to the priest, we're told they were made clean. And one of them got so excited about it that he started yelling and screaming, giving praise and thanks to God, and he ran back to Jesus, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet in gratitude. And Jesus looked at him, and he said, get his words here straight, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? And I remember when I was a little boy, and I heard this reading in church, my Monsignor Amble Duchesne, would spend the next 10 minutes of the homily talking about how bad those 9 people were for not coming back. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't talk about them. He talks about the one who came back. He says to him, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. Because he was grateful. Now, the two principles are God desires the salvation of everyone, including Samaritans and Assyrians. We heard that earlier. And it's important for us to have grateful hearts, because in this reading, it's the gratitude of the grateful Samaritan that saved him. And it was a sign of his faith. So the questions, are you bigoted? Are you bigoted against Mormons? Or Baptists, or Muslims, or Jews? You think we're better than them because we're Catholics? We may be right, and we think we're right, or we wouldn't be Catholics, right? but we're not better than anybody else. We're just lucky. We've been graced with the true faith, and we're grateful for that. But there's no room in any heart of any true disciple of Jesus to be a bigot. Jesus comes to save all people. Okay. Lesson number one. Lesson number two is a lesson in gratitude. Let's take ourselves back to the time we were little kids. And those of you who have little kids, have children, go back to when they were younger. Isn't one of the hardest things to teach your children is to be grateful? I can't tell you how many times when I've given something to a small kid that the mother or dad says to that child, "Now what are you supposed to say?" You know, in other words, thank you, right? Because saying thank you apparently doesn't come naturally to the human heart. We saw it resisted by the Syrian general. He resisted. And only one of the 10 cured lepers came back. So there's something in our heart that resists gratitude. But if we are grateful, it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference on how we view the world around us. If we're grateful for what we have, our approach to life is generally positive, right? If we're not grateful, if we're just constantly cranky, the rest of our life is pretty miserable. So the way we look at life changes by the depth of gratitude that we have. And if we're grateful to others around us, for them, the way we treat them is different than if we're resentful towards them. You know, you should always see your husband as a gift and be grateful to him, to God for him. And husbands, you have to see your wife in the same way. It doesn't just go one way, right? And they're in the front row, so I'm picking on them. They have three kids, those are kids here. Are you grateful for your children? Are you grateful for your mom and dad? She has a boyfriend. Are you grateful for him? It's easier to be grateful for boyfriends than for parents and brothers and sisters and girlfriends too, right? It's because it's a new relationship. But as soon as you get married, he's not going to be grateful anymore. He'll take you for granted. He'll take you for granted. That's what we do, don't we? We take people for granted rather than grateful to them. And if we were grateful to them, it would change our relationships altogether. You know, we see others as the enemy rather than the friend. And that's made our world a miserable place. We're either self-centered or we're focused on God and other people. And people who are focused on God and other people are grateful men and women who see God and others as a gift. So, it's a lesson. So, an experiment. Every day, this new week begins on Sunday, when you get out of bed, kneel at your bed, and think about why you should be grateful as you enter a new day. If you do that faithfully every day this next week, you might do it the rest of your life, because everybody's going to notice it. You're going to have a changed spirit, a spirit of gratitude and awe at the wondrous things that God has done for us. And then a final remembrance. What do we call Mass? We call it the celebration of the Eucharist, which is a Greek word that means thanksgiving. That's what it means. We come to church on Sunday to listen to the Word of God, to be thankful for the lesson that we learn how to be disciples, but more importantly yet, we are grateful for the sharing of the body and blood of Christ that takes place at the altar of thanksgiving. You know, Jesus comes among us, we believe, and in thanksgiving offers himself to the Father and drags us with him. And that's what we celebrate every Sunday when we gather for Mass, every day when we gather for Mass. May the Lord give us truly grateful hearts so that we might live grateful lives.